previous life, Sunshine. That was awesome. Thanks. I know I can't hold a tune, but I love singing. Don't give me that nonsense. I pull her stool out for her. You sounded great. Everyone loved it. As we sit, she exclaims, Oh, good. I still have some of my drink left. She puts the straw to her lips, glancing at me with a sexy glint in her eyes. She is going to be the death of me. I can feel it in my bones. I also feel like the luckiest guy in the place to have her all to myself. When we finally leave the bar, she's giddily tipsy, and I'm fighting a losing battle to keep my distance. She puts her arms out to her sides and looks up at the clear night sky.
I did it, Daddy. I'm officially in business with my first client. I hope I make you and Mama proud.
The reminder that she has no family guts me anew, but her unabashed love for them speaks to that organ in my chest that I've spent the last 10 years coating in steel. Wanting to be closer to her, to let her know she's not alone, I drape an arm over her shoulder as we walk down the sidewalk. Do you talk to him often?
Yes.
She presses herself against my side.
I picture him and my mama as stars watching over me. Want to hear something kind of silly?
You say something silly. She swats my stomach. I laugh. Tell me your silliness.
I still pay for his cell phone so I can call and hear his voice. I leave him messages, too. I know it sounds a little wackadoo, but it makes me feel closer to him.
I hold her tighter, wishing I could bring her family back and press a kiss to the top of her head. It's not silly, and you don't sound crazy. Do you ever talk to your mom?
Sometimes, but not like my dad. I was so young when she died, I didn't get a chance to know her as an adult like I did with my dad. He and I used to talk a lot. He was my best friend other than Ruby.
Does he ever answer you?
In my heart he does, and sometimes he sends me signs.
She looks up at me.
Like the day of the fiasco. Before you came over, I was ready to give up on Get the Yes, and I asked him to give me a sign so I would know if I should or not.
We turned the corner, heading for her place.
Then you knocked on my door and told me not to give up.
You think your father sent me, and it had nothing to do with returning the wallet you dropped at the park? She shrugs.
I think he did, but it's okay if you don't. All I know is that you've gotten into my head, Ryan Fletcher, and I can't stop thinking about you.
I want to grab hold of those words and take them at face value, but I have a feeling this is just the alcohol talking. Maybe that's because we're working together every day.
Nope. I work with Ruby almost every day, and she's not in my head. I was talking to her today and realized I didn't even talk to my dad this morning when I was so nervous about meeting with Arjun. I usually talk to him about all the big things in my life, but I talked to you instead, and you made me feel better.
We turn onto her street.
Even Ruby can't make me feel better the way talking to my dad does.
I'm glad I helped, but I don't want to take your father's place, Sunshine. My thoughts about you are definitely not paternal. She snuggles into my side, and man, she feels good.
Nobody could take his place. Besides, there's the whole kiss thing, and my thoughts on that are definitely not father-daughterly. I don't know where you learned to kiss like that, but I can't stop thinking about kissing you.
That was not helping me keep my distance. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Your kisses are hotter than Betty Jean's barbecue back home, and that stuff is flaming hot. I swear, I think about kissing you 12 times every day, 12 times every hour,
she says as we ascend her porch steps.
Then there's the dirty thoughts I keep having about you. I imagine your face and so much more. I should be ashamed they're so dirty.
Was she trying to shred my restraint one confession at a time? Because she was doing a damn good job of it, and now I wanted to make those thoughts a reality.
Listen to me going on like a giddy girl. Did I say too much?
She blinks up at me innocently and somehow also seductively, her hazel eyes brimming with so much desire. Something inside me snaps. Fuck it. I sweep my arm around her and seal my mouth over hers the way I've wanted to all night. I tell myself to go slow, so I don't overwhelm her, but she's right there with me, greedily returning my efforts as I devour her. Her mouth feels impossibly familiar. I revel in the sweetness of it and in the feel of her hands on my chest as she goes up on her toes, seeking more. That's it, sunshine. Take what you want. I push a hand into her hair, getting a whiff of strawberry as I tangle it around my fingers at the base of her skull. Angling her mouth beneath mine, I take the kiss deeper. She moans, and my body flames at the sound that has fueled my fantasies all week. I've never been so turned on by kissing before, and I can't get enough of her. I grab her ass, holding her tight against me, knowing she'll feel what she's doing to me. Earning more sexy sounds, I tighten my hold on her hair, kissing her more possessively. She makes a sound between a whimper and a moan, and I reluctantly pull back. Too hard? No. She tugs my mouth back to hers. We feast like starving animals, groping and grinding like we may never get another chance. It's been so long since I've felt this type of primal passion. I had wondered if it even existed inside me anymore. I want to take her inside, strip her down, and devour every inch of her, to give her what no man has been able to show her that fireworks can come without everlasting love. But that thought reminds me of the inescapable fact that she's all about love, and I'm on the opposite end of that spectrum. She's also tipsy, and both of those things give me pause. I respect her too much to do something she might regret, so I ease my efforts, kissing her softer, savoring every press of our lips, every sensual sound she makes. As I draw back, she says, "More." I'll probably go straight to hell for it, but the plea reels me in for one last, sensual, lingering kiss. The thought of ending the kiss and walking away is agonizing, but I know I have to. I pull away slowly, brushing my lips over hers as I whisper, "I should go, sunshine."
"Oh, you don't want to come in?"
The disappointment or hurt in her voice slays me. "I want to come in more than I've wanted anything in a very long time, but you're tanked up on lusty lizards, and we've got a great friendship. I don't want to screw that up by doing something you'll regret when your head is clearer." She frowns and runs her hands over my chest.
"Why do you have to be such a good guy?"
"Because if I let my G.I. Joe side come out, and you wake up tomorrow wondering what the hell you did last night, you'll probably scurry back to Georgia, and poor Arjun will never get his once-in-a-lifetime Parisian-themed proposal." She laughs.
"I won't regret it."
Let's not test that theory. I'm a casual dater, at best, and you're a forever girl. For what it's worth, you weren't the only one who couldn't stop thinking about that first kiss. I press a kiss to her forehead. "Now go inside and lock up so I know you're safe, and drink some water before you go to bed. I'll see you Saturday."
Chapter 12. Destiny. "You left me hanging last night. Why didn't you text me back? I'm dying to know what happened at your business meeting. Ruby asks too fast and too loud for my throbbing head when she walks into the grooming room Friday morning, causing the adorable poodle I'm grooming to bark. The sound echoes in my head. I groan and whisper, "Shh, Barley." "You look awful," Ruby says. "Are you sick?" "No, I drank two lusty lizards last night and woke up feeling like someone used my head as a punching bag." She laughs. "Congratulations. For the hangover?" "No, for getting the client." "Shh. How do you know?" She deadpans. "Whenever you go out celebrating, you somehow forget that you're a lightweight, and you end up looking like this the next morning. Remember the night you moved here?" "Don't remind me." "We celebrated by going out for Italian food, and I had several glasses of sangria, despite Ruby's warnings about regretting it in the morning. Fletch's similar warning comes back to me for the millionth time, bringing memories of the toe-curling kisses we shared and the embarrassing secrets I spewed." "I think I need to give you a shock collar, or maybe you need a tattoo across your forehead that says, 'Can't handle more than one drink,' so whoever you're with can try to stop you." "A shock collar might work, but I think I need two. One for drinking and one for kissing Fletch. I groan and rest my forehead on the pooch's furry back. You kissed him again? She exclaims. Shh. She hurries over, talking just above a whisper. Tell me everything. Slowly and quietly, I tell her everything, from the thoughtful gift and pep talk he gave me, to the way the conversation flowed easily between me, Fletch, and Arjun, and how Fletch had jumped in with input and opinions and compliments about me, to how much fun I had with him at the bar and how the night ended. I can't believe I basically told him I'd dream about him naked. So what? Lusty lizards give everyone loose lips. Ugh. I don't understand why you're not happy about it. You guys obviously have some kind of connection, and you were having fun, and you kissed. Why is that a big deal? We also groped. Oh my God, Rubes, his hands are so big and so much stronger than I imagined. I can still feel them on me, and the way he tugged on my hair. I lower my voice to a whisper. I didn't even know I'd like that. I don't know much about hair pulling. She touches her buzz cut. But I know how good big, strong hands can be. And I know that look, Destiny Amor. Now I see the problem. You want more than just a little front porch action from Fletchy, don't you? I can't believe I'm saying this about Grumpy Gus, but who wouldn't? He's gotten to me. But you know I don't do casual sex, and he's not my Mr. Right. I can't even pretend he could be. He doesn't believe in love. He doesn't even date with an intention for more. He only casually dates. But when we kiss, it feels so good. I don't care about any of that. I turn into a shameless harlot. I want to tear off his clothes with my teeth and let him ravage me. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I've never been that girl. You know what your dad would say? I try not to allow thoughts of my father and sex to commingle. As good a point as that is, he'd say if you don't try new things, after a while you'll start moving backward. I'm pretty sure he wasn't talking about sex, but the logic still applies. It's been a long time since you've been with a guy, and you obviously like Fletch. I think you should go for it. Satisfy your lust and enjoy every second of it. Just make sure you're upfront with Fletch and keep that dreamy heart of yours at bay. My heart is not a problem where Fletch is concerned. He doesn't even sing karaoke, I say, trying to convince myself as much as Ruby. Laura walks in with a King Charles Spaniel, and having already been shushed by me, she hands Ruby the leash, speaking in a hushed voice. This is Spencer. He's here for the full spa treatment. Ruby kneels to greet the pup, and Laura looks at me with curiosity. Flowers just arrived for you. I'll go get them. My pulse quickens. Ruby waits for Laura to leave the room before she says, Sounds like Fletchy's not done either. Laura walks back in with a vase of pink carnations. A lump lodges in my throat as she hands it to me. Open the card. Let's see who they're from. As I open the card, I half expect to see my dad's horrible handwriting on it, which sounds stupid even in my own head. I don't, of course. It's Fletch's blocky letters that bring tears to my eyes, which I quickly blink dry so the others don't notice.
Congratulations, sunshine. I hope you don't think this is weird. I don't want to fill your dad's shoes, but I don't want you to lose that wondrous look in your eyes when you talk about him either. I know he and your mom are proud of you, and I'm sure he'd want you to have these. You're not bad for a blonde friend, Fletch.
I'm speechless, unable to believe he remembered what I'd said about the carnations. Well, who are they from? Laura asks. I know how Laura looks at Fletch, and I don't want her to get the wrong impression, so I say, Just a friend congratulating me on my first client. That's so sweet, Laura says. I'll be at my desk if you need me. Ruby pins me with a worried stare as Laura leaves the room. I show her the note, and her brows knit as she reads it. When she hands it back, her tone is careful. So much for keeping your heart at bay. I lift my chin, and for the first time in my life, I flat out lie to my bestie. And not for the first time, I lie to myself, too. My heart is fine. He's just being kind because I told him that I talk with my dad sometimes. Are you sure he's not looking for more than a casual thing with you? This time, I don't have to lie. Yes, I'm sure. He was very clear about that.
Fletch. I've been in a shitty mood all day and cannot wait to leave work. As I gather my things, my mind drifts back to Destiny. It hasn't strayed far since we started hanging out. I didn't text her this morning because I didn't want her to feel pressured or get the wrong impression and think there was more between us after last night. I'm definitely into her, but not with strings that lead to rings. I figured she'd text me after she got the flowers, but I haven't heard from her. I thought maybe the flowers hadn't been delivered, but I called the florist and confirmed that they had. I wonder if she thought I'd overstepped by sending them. Or maybe she hadn't gone into work. Hell, I don't know what to think. I must have picked up my phone to text her about a dozen times today, but that felt weird too. I'm not a needy guy. I didn't send her flowers to be thanked. I did it to brighten her day. But this silence is gnawing away at me. I'm used to getting texts with her rambling thoughts throughout the day and pictures from her walk with Molly. That gives me pause. Maybe she decided not to walk her. That shouldn't bum me out, but it does. If she didn't walk Molly, there'll be no note in that loopy handwriting left for me with the silly heart over the eye in her name. Yes, I realize I'm a selfish bastard for even thinking that way when there are more important factors at play, but it's been a long time since I've felt anything. Even her notes make me feel a hell of a lot. "Hey," Talia says as she pops into my office. "Derek and I are meeting Ben and Aurelia at Bridget's for dinner. Want to come?" Ben and Bridget are two of Talia's siblings, and Aurelia is Ben's wife. "No, thanks," I say tightly.
"Bad day?"
I don't respond.
"You're usually in celebration mode at the end of finals week."
"Let me ask you something," comes out before I can stop it. "Let's say you go out and have a great time with a friend, and things get a little hot. The next day, he does something nice, and you go radio silent. Would you want that friend to reach out, or..." Am I really asking Talia for dating advice? Fuck, never mind.
"Is this the same friend you've been helping every night?"
"Yes." We leave my office and head down the hall.
"Okay, and how hot did it get?"
I'm not in the mood for an inquisition, but not that hot. She grins. "You like her?" "As a friend, yes."
"Uh-huh,"
she says with amusement.
"You don't get hot with friends."
"Cut the shit, Tall. She's sweet and cute, and we have fun together. It's nothing more than that. I just hope I didn't make her uncomfortable."
"Did you try to take advantage of her?"
she asks as we walk out the doors to the parking lot. "You know me better than that."
"Exactly. So what are you worried about? She's probably busy. You said she just started a new business."
"Yeah, maybe."
"This isn't like you."
Her tone turns serious.
"What did you do for her today?"
"She got her first client, so I sent her some flowers that her dad used to send her. He passed away last year."
"I thought you said you two weren't serious."
"We're not."
"A thoughtful gift like that says otherwise."
I curse.
"You're not a stupid man, Fletch. You know a gift like that sends a message."
I didn't think about it that way. I stop by the row of cars where Talia's vehicle is parked. I didn't really think about it much at all. I was happy for her, and I wanted to do something that would make her happy.
"Better be careful around this one. When a man like you stops thinking with his head, there's no telling what's next."
I exhale frustratedly and head for my Range Rover.
"If you change your mind, dinner is at 7.
I won't, but tell everyone I said hello. I call over my shoulder. "I'm not fit to be around people right now. I don't even want to be around myself."
When I get home, Molly's all sloppy kisses and tail-wagging joy. It's hard to be in a shitty mood when I'm greeted like that, but I manage to hold on to it. That is, until I spot a card on the dining room table and my fucking heart hammers in my chest. I snag it on my way to let Molly out.
Dear Fletch, thank you for the lovely flowers. Molly and I had a great walk today. Let me know if you still want to scout locations with me tomorrow. No pressure.
Destiny. P.S. I hope you still want to come with me. P.P.S.
But again, no pressure.
Damn. I obviously made her uncomfortable. There are no exclamation points like in the other note she's left me this week, and she didn't dot the I in her name with a heart. I head into the kitchen and put the card in my junk drawer with the others she's left over the last couple of weeks. Needing air, I walk out back and sit on a chair on the patio. Molly bounds over with her ball, and I toss it into the yard for her. She runs after it, and I take out my phone to text Destiny. Fletch. I'm glad you like the flowers. I hope sending them didn't make things awkward between us. Dots dance across the screen like she's typing, but they quickly disappear. Shit. Fletch. Sorry if I overstepped last night. I thought we were on the same page when we kissed. Those dots dance again and then disappear. This is another kind of torture I've never experienced before. The dots reappear, and I grip the phone so tight my knuckles blanch. Destiny.
You didn't overstep. We were on the same page.
Then why does this feel off? Molly brings me the ball, and I throw it across the yard again. Destiny.
You did the right thing by leaving.
I breathe a little easier, but it only lasts a second as I realize she's drawn a line in the sand and we're on opposite sides. Destiny.
You were right. I am a forever girl.
Destiny. Heart emoji. Destiny.
And you're definitely not my forever guy.
Destiny. Confused face emoji. Yup, the line has been drawn and I fucking hate it, even if she's not wrong. Destiny.
But I wouldn't have regretted doing more.
Destiny.
Even forever girls like to have fun.
Destiny. Winking face emoji. Destiny.
We can leave all that behind us and move on. Thanks again for watching out for me. I'm glad we understand each other now.
Yeah, I understand. Last night would have been fun, but the opportunity is past.
Got it.
As I begin thumbing out a response, another message pops up. Destiny.
I love our friendship.
Destiny. Smiling face with hearts emoji. Destiny.
Please tell me you'll still scout locations with me tomorrow.
Praying hands emoji.
We make such a great team.
I hate the opposite sides of the line deal, but I'm not about to turn down spending more time with her. Fletch.
I'll be there. Let me know what time to pick you up.
Destiny.
Yay! I ended up taking a couple of grooming clients for tomorrow morning, and I'm sure you'll want to walk Molly since we'll be out for a while. Want to go after lunch? 2 o'clock?
Destiny.
If that's too late and you have other plans, I understand.
Fletch. Why would I make other plans when I already committed to going with you? Destiny. Woman shrugging shoulders emoji. Fletch. See you too, sunshine. Have a good night. Destiny.
It's already much better than my day was. I was nursing a major headache all day. I'm finally feeling better.
A hangover. And she still went to work and walked Molly? That's impressive. And it might explain her earlier radio silence and the lack of enthusiasm in the card. I should have reached out to check on her today. Fletch. Those lusty lizards were potent. Sorry about your headache. I hope you're able to get some rest. Destiny.
Clementine and I are going to bed early.
That's one lucky cat. Destiny.
I'm sure I'll see you in my dreams.
Destiny. Hot face emoji. Fire emoji. Times 3. Fuck. How did we graduate from friends to friends who torture each other but must keep their lips to themselves? Destiny.
Sweet dreams, Rai Rai.
I scoff. And women think men are complicated?
Chapter 13. Destiny. I had high hopes for this site, but I don't know, Fletch. I plant my hands on my hips, taking in the view of sprawling hills and dusty valleys from a rocky overlook at the end of a trail where Arjun and Mara like to hike. It's almost 6 o'clock, and the sun hovers low in the sky, perfect for a coming sunset. I take a few pictures of the view to look over later and maybe post on social media, but something is missing. This is the fourth site we've checked out today. We looked at a park 2 towns over, at another trail Arjun and Mara frequent, and at the outdoor cafe where they had their first date, which is about an hour from Harmony Point. But like this overlook, each spot has left me feeling flat.
The view is beautiful, he says matter-of-factly.
Fletch has been acting flat, too. Maybe that's impacting how I'm seeing things. He's guarded again, keeping his distance. It's not like he's being mean or even curt. He's not even back to being grumpy Gus. He's given me just enough friendliness that anyone else might not notice the difference. But I feel it in the lack of friendly touches and knowing jokes, and I don't understand it. It's like he's an imposter and he's getting it all wrong. The few times I tried to ask if something was wrong, he brushed me off. I thought we cleared the air last night, but he must have changed his mind about me. I know I'm not a beauty queen, but I'm cute, and sure, I'm a handful, but I thought he liked who I am. After our front porch makeout session, I want him more than ever. I was all revved up to throw caution to the wind and take the plunge into a casual tryst with him. But now there's awkwardness and tension between us that wasn't there before, and I don't know what to do about it. Trying to bury that frustration for the 100th time since he picked me up, I pull up my big girl panties and hold my head up high. It is pretty, but it doesn't scream Paris to me.
Because we're in New York.
Flat, flat, flat. I try to lighten the air. Do you think I don't know that, naysayer? The edges of his lips twitch like he's stopping himself from smiling. That's why Arjun hired me to bring the magic, I remind him too sharply, but I can't help it. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. I just have to find the right location. I want it to be so romantic and breathtaking that even the air Mara breathes feels infused with love. I thought doing it outside would be perfect. In my head, I see a sunset proposal with a table for two, a violinist, decorations that make it look like a Parisian cafe, and a replica of the Eiffel Tower draped in greenery and flowers and lights. I sigh. I can see it all so clearly. But Arjun seems like a private person. The park and the cafe are too public, and I didn't realize how long the hikes were. By the time Mara got here, she'd be dusty and dirty. That type of romance has its place, but not for a grand Paris proposal. Fletch is watching me like he's trying to figure me out. Today is not the day for that. Do you think you can build a tower like that for me?
No, I'd definitely screw it up. But I know someone who can.
His guarded tone is driving me nuts. I want my friendlier friend back. You do? Who?
My friend Talia's sister, Piper. She owns a contracting company, and she does excellent work.
Do you think she'd be interested in doing it?
I can ask. I know she likes unique jobs.
That would be great, if you're sure you don't mind.
I'll take care of it.
He pulls out his phone, thumbing out a text. Thanks. As we head down the trail, he walks behind me, and I try to work out my thoughts. Now I just need to figure out a better location. I want something with a great view, but I don't think I can pull off Paris with upstate New York landscape. They should be looking out at the lights of a city, but it still needs to be someplace private. I wish I knew of a restaurant with a great view and rooftop dining. I wonder if Arjun would mind going into the city, but that's not private.
I know of a place.
I didn't think he was listening.
My buddy Rich owns an Italian restaurant on the outskirts of Sunnyvale. The dining room has a great view, so I'd imagine the view from the roof is even better. There's no rooftop dining, You'd probably be looking at a dirty old roof.
I can work with that. Think he'd let me see it? He pulls out his phone.
I'll give him a call and see if we can stop by.
My efforts at small talk fall short on the 40-minute ride to the restaurant, and my frustration amplifies. I've gone over everything we've said to each other, and I can't think of a darn thing that would have rubbed him the wrong way. I climb out of the car feeling like a guitar string strung so tight I'm ready to snap and force myself to focus on the restaurant. It's impressive, all stone and dark glass, sitting majestically on the top of a hill, which reminds me of a certain walled-off man at the moment. Said man keeps his distance as we head inside. There's no friendly hand on my back or arm around my shoulder, and I yearn for those simple touches that showed how our friendship had blossomed. I tuck that away as he informs the hostess we're there to see Rich. When she goes to get him, I take a moment to admire the dark wood, plush leather, and crystal chandeliers. I like the atmosphere. It's romantic and luxurious without being overdone or intimidating. He nods.
It's a nice place.
I open my mouth to ask him if I've done something to upset him, but a deep voice booms through the silence.
Fletch!
I turn to see a dark-haired, thick-chested, and equally thick-waisted man approaching.
It's great to see you.
He embraces Fletch and claps him on the back.
It's been too long.
Yes, it has. Rich, this is my friend Destiny, the proposal planner I mentioned. Destiny, my buddy Rich Capella.
Fletch's tone is lighter than he's used with me all afternoon, and that stings, amping up my irritation. But I manage to keep a lid on it for now and offer my hand to his friend. Hi, Rich. It's a pleasure to meet you.
You as well.
Rich shakes my hand.
I can't imagine my roof is what you're looking for, but let's head up and you can check it out.
As we follow him through the restaurant, I ask the question I would have asked Fletch on the way over had I felt he was open to conversation. How do you and Fletch know each other?
We grew up together and played basketball and baseball on the same teams from the time we were yay high.
He holds his hand about 3 feet off the floor. I bet you have some fun stories to share.
We got into some trouble, but not as much as Jimmy did.
Rich opens a door, and we follow him down a hall.
How'd you two meet?
I groom his dog, and I tried to marry him off to his stalker. I tell him about the proposal fiasco as we ascend a staircase. His deep laughter rings out as he opens another door and we step onto the roof.
That's a great story. I'd give anything to have seen your face, Fletch.
Their conversation is drowned out by the magnificent view unfolding before me as I walk to the middle of the roof, taking in the lights of the town against the backdrop of the setting sun. It's exactly what I had hoped to find. I can picture it as clear as day. The decorated tower, cafe-like setup, and violinist set against the backdrop of a starry sky and twinkling lights of the town. I take out my phone, snapping pictures from every angle, mentally planning out the event. I'd cover the roof with fake grass and add a red carpet lined with gorgeous planters overflowing with red roses. No red carpet. Cobblestones. They might have to be fake cobblestones, but they'd be the perfect entrance to Arjun and Mara's magical night. I turn around to tell Rich and Fletch as much and catch Fletch watching me, jaw tight, eyes hooded. My stomach sinks, but I won't let that steal my joy. This is perfect, I head over to them. What would it cost to rent the roof for a night?
I'm sure you know what you're doing, but have you looked at the roof?
Rich asks.
It's going to take a crew to clean this mess up, and I don't know how clean it'll get.
I haven't looked beyond the view, and I take a moment to assess the grungy rooftop. I don't know much about cleaning roofs, but my father power washed the outside of his auto shop, and it looked like a whole new building when he got done. I have a picture in my mind of what this proposal should look like, and this fits it to a T. Rich, if you're willing to rent it out for a night and you give me a ballpark price, I'll run it by my client. If we move forward, I promise you won't have to do a thing, and I'll do my best not to disrupt your restaurant business. He looks between me and Fletch.
Are you sure about this?
I press my hand to my chest. I've already got my heart set on it. I don't know if my client will feel the same until I put together my vision board and lay it out for him, but I have a good feeling about it.
Did you have a good feeling about the woman who wanted to propose to Fletch?
He asks with amusement. That's a fair question, I say, at the same time Fletch says,
That wasn't the same.
Shocked that he came to my defense and with such a stern voice, my thoughts stumble.
She's far more prepared now than she was at that time, Fletch adds. If this fits her vision, I'd appreciate you considering renting it to her for the event. I was joking. I'm happy to let her use it.
Rich looks at me.
But I'm not going to charge you to use it. It's going to cost you a pretty penny to get this place cleaned up.
You're sweet to worry about that, and I appreciate the offer, but I can't take a handout.
It's not a handout. Consider it a test run. I've been overlooking the best view in all of Sunnyvale. If your event goes well, I might consider finishing this space off and holding my own events up here.
I pat his arm. Look at you, thinking outside the box. I love that idea, and I'm thrilled to be your inspiration. I move to hug him, then stop short, remembering I'm supposed to be a professional. I offer my hand instead. Thank you, Rich.
Put that hand away. I'm a hugger, too.
He wraps me in his beefy arms, and I beam at Fletch, who's finally showing a fissure in his frustrating facade and is almost smiling. I tell Rich about my vision for the proposal, and he seems excited, though wary about whether I can really pull it off. We talk about bringing in safety barriers to make sure nobody gets too close to the edge, and after exchanging contact information, I promise to be in touch soon. I'm flying high as we head to the car. Thank you for taking me here. This is where it's meant to happen. I can feel it. He opens my car door.
I'm glad you're happy, sunshine.
That's the first time he's called me that all day. I didn't realize how much I'd missed it. I climb into my seat and watch him walk around to the driver's side. I wish I knew why he's been acting so standoffish. As he settles behind the wheel, I try again to ease the tension. Rich is a peach. I bet you two had a lot of fun when you were kids.
We had a good time.
His bland tone doesn't improve on the drive home as I ask him questions about him and Rich and try to lighten the mood. When we reach Main Street, I'm a breath away from losing my mind. Just drive to your house. I'll walk from there. I need some fresh air. He eyes me disapprovingly. Don't look at me like that. I'm a big girl. I can walk around the block without a chaperone.
I'll walk you home.
He grits his teeth and turns down his street. He sounds so annoyed, I can't take another second of it. What is wrong with you?
Nothing.
He turns into his driveway and cuts the engine. Don't give me that nonsense. You know darn well you're not acting like yourself. Are you upset with me? Did I say or do something to bother you? I've been thinking about it all day, and I can't think of a time I was rude or anything. Unless... The flowers. My stomach sinks. I should have texted or called to say thank you right away when you sent me those flowers. That was rude of me, and I know better. But they meant a lot to me, and I was afraid I'd come across like a buffoon or a clingy girl trying to snatch you up, and I didn't want to make you feel like I was getting that way towards you.
I didn't expect a thank you, he grits out. And I know you're not looking at me that way.
Then why are you keeping your distance from me? I thought we had a connection, a meaningful friendship, but you're treating me like you don't even want to be here.
I do want to be here. I'm just trying not to step over the line,
he says tightly. Have you lost your mind? What line?
The one you drew in the sand yesterday.
What in Farm Hill are you talking about? I don't mean to raise my voice, but I can't stop. I wasn't anywhere near sand yesterday.
It's a metaphor,
he practically growls. I throw my hands up. For what?
Jesus. You were damn clear yesterday about not wanting me to kiss you again, which is fine. That's your choice. but you've gotten under my skin with your sweet southern accent and over-the-top exuberance, and I'm so damn attracted to you, I can't turn it off.
His voice escalates, his words dripping with frustration.
So am I keeping my distance? You bet your ass I am, because if I get too close, I'm afraid I'll cross that line, and I don't want to disrespect you.
I still don't know what sandy line you're talking about, but I didn't draw it, I shout. Are you saying you want to kiss me?
Fuck yes, I want to kiss you.
Then stop looking for lines and get over here. I reach across the console and grab his shirt, tugging his mouth to mine. Our kisses are feverish and hungry, awakening desire so greedy and hot I feel feral. His hands are in my hair, on my breasts. The sounds of my moans mixing with his guttural growls make my entire body flame. He tears his mouth away, and I long for its return, but his teeth are on my jaw, sending wicked sensations searing through my core. I arch into him, gripping his arms as he lowers his mouth, biting my neck and lingering with open-mouthed kisses. Heat gathers between my legs. Fletch, I pant out. Let's go inside. He frames my face with his hands, his blue eyes pinning me in place.
I like spending time with you, and I'd like nothing more than to take you inside and make you come until you can't see straight. But I'm not looking for a relationship, Sunshine. And I'm definitely not looking for love. So let's be damn sure we're on the same page this time, because I do not want to hurt you with another misunderstanding.
My heart is racing, and I don't really want to face this, but I think we both need to hear the truth. Then let me be very clear. I like you a lot, Fletch, but I know we're not a match made in heaven. This combustible thing between us, that's lust in its rawest and rarest form. There might be a fine line between lust and love to most people, but to me, it's a ravine, and it isn't drawn in the sand. It's drawn in blood, straight from my heart. That's a ravine not easily crossed, and certainly not by a man who doesn't nail every item on my checklist. But since we're fake dating for Jimmy's wedding, we might as well enjoy the real benefits, right? After the wedding, we'll go back to being just friends. I'll restart my quest to find Mr. Wright, and you'll go back to being grumpy, no-love Gus.
I don't know if I should be bothered by that or relieved.
I vote for relieved and thanking me with a kiss.
I'll thank you all night long.
He crushes his mouth to mine in a greedy, passionate kiss that has me squeezing my thighs together to quell the urge to climb over that console and straddle him.
Chapter 14. Fletch. Time moves in a blur of lustful kisses and greedy gropes as we make our way into my house. Molly is all over us, jumping up excitedly. It takes everything I have to tear myself away from Destiny, and she just laughs, petting Molly with one hand as we kiss and stumble toward the patio door. Molly bolts outside, and I leave the door open for her. As I turn back to Destiny, she reaches for me. I fucking love her eagerness. Our mouths fuse together, and I box her in against the dining room table. Fuck. Her mouth drives me up the wall, so sweet and willing, but I'm not going to rush to the finish line. I lift her onto the table, and she lets out an adorable, surprised squeak. I haul her to the edge and pull her shirt over her head, slowing us down as I drink in the sight of her lust-brimmed eyes, pinking up her cheeks, and pert breasts peeking out through a sexy yellow lace bra. She reaches for me again, and I catch her hand, holding it, as I run the fingers of my other hand over her breast. Her nipple tightens against my touch. We're not rushing, Sunshine. I brush my lips over hers. I'm not going to be one of your disappointments. I take her in a slow, sensual kiss that burns through me. I'm going to find all the places that bring you pleasure. She inhales sharply, and I trail kisses down her neck, slowing to lick the pulse point at the base. Her breathing hitches. I linger there, licking and kissing, giving it a moan-inducing suck. Fletch, she pleads breathily, clinging to my arms. I close my eyes, hoping she isn't having second thoughts. Want me to stop?
God, no. I just... more.
Music to my ears. I run my tongue along her lower lip. I promise to give you everything you want and more than you think you need, but I told you, I'm not rushing. I kiss her softly. By the time we're done, you're not going to be able to stop thinking about the pleasure I brought you. Starting here. I lower my mouth to that pulse point again, lavishing the tender spot until she's squirming, begging for more again. Only then do I kiss my way across her collarbone, ridding her of her bra and kiss the swell of her breasts. You're so sexy, sunshine, I murmur against her heated flesh. Her breasts barely fill my palms, but no one has ever felt so perfect. I brush my thumbs over her nipples, loving the way she closes her eyes, and her breath falls from her lips like she's been waiting forever for this. I rise to kiss her again as Molly bounds inside and shoves her big head between us. I grit my teeth at my obliviously happy dog. You're killing my groove, Moll. Destiny laughs and pets her as I close the door.
I missed you too, Molly.
Her sweetness toward Molly tweaks something inside me. Annoyed with myself for letting that get to me, I throw some food in Molly's bowl and say, we're going upstairs. I help Destiny to her feet and take her hand, heading for the stairs. When Molly follows, I glower at her. Stay. Molly cocks her head, panting. I kick the guilt she stirs to the curb and lead Destiny upstairs. Molly follows. Destiny giggles, but I'm not amused. There's no way I'm letting my furry, slobbery beast into the bedroom with us. When we reach the master suite, I let Destiny enter first, and I block Molly's way. My dog looks at me expectantly, as if to tell me to move my ass. I don't blame her. It's her room, too. I crouch beside her, giving her a scratch behind her ears. Sorry, girl, but you're staying out here. I'll make it up to you another time. I give her a pat, shoving that guilt deeper as I close the door behind me. One look at Destiny, blushing, bare-chested, and reaching for me, obliterates that discomfort. Where were we? I close the distance between us and wrap her in my arms. Oh, yes. I was about to make you come. She bites her lower lip, cheeks flaming. Change your mind, sunshine? Please say no.
No, I just... Don't be disappointed if I can't get there.
I'd only be disappointed for you, but I don't think you have to worry about that. I kiss her tenderly.
Yes, I do,
she whispers, lowering her gaze.
It's not easy for me.
My chest aches at that, and I wonder if other guys have caused her to feel bad about it. Even the idea of that pisses me off. I lift her chin, holding her gaze, and take a giant leap of faith, hoping I don't offend her. Is it easy for you when you're thinking of me and you touch yourself? You know you can trust me, sunshine, or you wouldn't be here. Can you make yourself come? She breathes harder, brows knitting as she nods. Then I promise you, I'll get you there. I kiss her then, deep and slow, tangling my hands in her hair the way I've already learned she likes. I kiss her until she goes soft and trusting in my arms, and then I slide one hand down her back, crushing her to me, kissing her longer and deeper, wanting to make up for all the assholes who ever made her feel like she wasn't enough. When our lips finally part, I tug off my t-shirt and kneel to take off her sneakers and blue polka dot socks, which for some reason make me smile. I remove my sneakers and socks and rise to my feet, kissing her again as I unbutton her jeans. I strip them off, leaving on her yellow lace panties, giving her time to get used to being undressed with me. She's all sleek, gentle curves and flushed skin, like a stunning, delicate bird. But the only thing delicate about this strong, feminine beauty is her tender heart, which, as I trail my hand along her waist, I vow to protect. She watches me strip down to my boxer briefs and reaches for me. Our mouths come together in a soul-searing kiss that has us both moaning. I rain kisses along her jaw, down her neck, and across her shoulder, intent on finding the pleasure points I'm sure have been overlooked. I caress her breast and trail kisses down her arm, slowing to kiss the sensitive skin along the crook of her elbow. I'm rewarded with a hitch in her breathing. I continue kissing down to her wrist, earning more sensual noises. Clutching her hip with my other hand, I kiss her palm and draw her closer.
Fletch,
she pants out. Pleasure points, baby. I lower her hand and slide my fingers along the top of her thigh and the edge of her panties. She moans, breathing harder as I move behind her and gather her hair over one shoulder. I graze my teeth over the back of her neck, rubbing my cock against her ass. She whimpers needily. Like feeling what you do to me, sunshine? I kiss down her spine and nip at her ass cheek. She jerks, gasping, but it isn't a scared gasp. And the way she pushes her ass back into my hands as I glide my tongue along her inner thighs shows me how much she likes it. She trembles, heat radiating from her pussy through the damp material. I cannot wait to get my mouth on you. I run my hands down her outer thighs and kiss my way lower, slowing to love the backs of her knees. Her breath rushes from her lungs and her knees buckle. I put my arm around her, rising up along her back. I've got you.
I can't take it.
Yes, you can. I'll make everything better. I kiss just below her ear. Easier for you. I slide one hand around her, rubbing her through her panties, and press my cock against her ass. She holds her breath. Breathe, baby. When she does, I slide my finger beneath her panties, teasing without entering her. You're so wet for me, so ready to come.
Yes, please.
Soon. I move around to her front, holding her gaze as I slide my fingers between her legs, rubbing there, over her panties, and slick my tongue over her nipple. She grabs my arms, panting out,
You're making me crazy.
Good. I suck her nipple to the roof of my mouth, and she cries out, fingernails digging into my arms. I slide my tongue over the taut peak again.
Suck it again,
she begs. That's it. Tell me what you like. I fulfill her desire.
Fletch.
She's so close to coming, but I want her wild with it, unable to hold back, so I rise up, taking her in a rough, passionate kiss, and hook my fingers into the hips of her panties. I've fantasized about taking these off you since I first saw them hanging by your window. I drag them lower, kissing the apex of her sex, the tops of her thighs, and her knees, every touch of my lips causing a sharp inhalation as I slip them off. Taking my time, driving us both out of our minds, I kiss my way back up her legs and grab her ass as I slide my tongue along the sensitive skin of her inner thighs, so close to her pussy my scruff brushes it. Her breath rushes from her lungs, and I continue taunting her until she's begging for more, her arousal wetting my cheek and her inner thighs. I lick those thighs clean and skip over where she needs me most, pressing a kiss beneath her belly button. I want to throw her on the bed and feast on her until she begs me to fuck her, but our time for that will come, just like she will. Right now, she needs me to go slow and show her that I'm a man of my word, so I fight the urge and appreciate the beauty before me as I rise to my full height and brush the backs of my fingers along her cheek. You're gorgeous, sunshine, so fucking beautiful. I take her hand, leading her to the bed, and pull back the blanket. She climbs onto the bed, and I follow, lying beside her, and run my hand along her side. You okay? You're awfully quiet.
I feel like I'm going to combust.
Good. I kiss her.
I've been thinking about us doing this all week,
she confesses.
I'm afraid I'll wake up and realize it's just a dream.
She's so damn cute. Does this feel like a dream? I lower my mouth to her breast, caressing it with my hand and tease her nipple with my tongue.
No.
She says in one long breath. I intensify my efforts, using my teeth and tongue until she's writhing beneath me. When I suck her nipple to the roof of my mouth, she bows off the mattress and grabs my head, keeping my mouth on her.
Don't stop.
I continue teasing with my mouth and hand, earning one sensual sound after another, and slide my hand down her stomach, my fingertips grazing her clit. She rocks her hips, and I lower my hand, sliding through her wetness. She inhales a jagged breath, and fuck, she feels so good, and the little noises she's making have my cock throbbing. I can't hold back a growl as I work her clit slowly, reading her body, sliding lower every few strokes, then back up again. She fists her hands in the sheets. Like that, baby? She makes a little noise, but doesn't answer. I move my mouth to her other breast, gradually increasing the speed and intensity of my fingers, and suck her nipple harder, grazing my teeth over the top peak. She whimpers and moans, digging her heels into the mattress, knees rising. That's it, baby, chase your pleasure. I feel her orgasm building, hear it in her hampered breathing, see it in her thighs flexing. Tell me what you need, sunshine. Faster, slower, harder. She makes a sinful noise, but my little chatterbox doesn't say a word. Determined to deliver on my promise, I blaze a path down her body and slick my tongue along her pussy, taking my first real taste of her. Her fists tighten in the sheets. So damn sweet. I go back for more, quickening my pace, and a pleasure-drenched sound sails from her lips, spurring me on. Sliding two fingers inside her, I move my mouth to her clit, flicking it faster and harder, and crook my fingers inside her, pumping slowly, seeking the spot that will take her higher. Oh my, she pants out. I return my fingers to the spot where they were and wiggle the tips.
Oh God, that feels good. Don't stop.
Thank you, sunshine. Zeroing in on that magical spot inside her, I bring my other hand into play, my fingers joining my mouth on her clit. She moves with me, and when she rocks along my fingers, riding them faster, I quicken my efforts. Her moans grow louder, heels digging deeper into the mattress. I quicken my fingers on her clit, and it doesn't take long before she's writhing and, yes, 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 shoots from her lips. Her body pulses tight and hot around my fingers, her loud, sensual cries rocketing off the walls. I stay with her, fucking her with my fingers, lapping up every drop of her arousal. When I feel her coming down from the high, I find that hidden spot like a heat-seeking missile sending her right up to the peak of another climax. When she collapses to the mattress, breathless and sated, her body jerks with aftershocks, and I kiss my way up her stomach to her gorgeous breasts, where I linger, earning sharp inhalations with every slick of my tongue, every press of my lips. I perch above her, drinking in her beautiful, sated smile and closed eyes, and brush a kiss to her lips.
That was... wow.
Her eyes flutter open.
Do I have to call you Orgasm King now? Because I don't think I can do that in public.
I dip my head beside hers, kissing her neck. Then you can call me OK for short. It'll be our little secret. I kiss her again, and she winds her arms around me, pushing her hands into my hair. I have a fleeting thought about how much I like the feel of it, but my cock demands something that will feel much better. I rub the shaft against her entrance. She grinds against it.
Are you as good with your scepter as you are with your hands and mouth?
My scepter? I laugh again.
Well, you are the king. Or maybe you're so good with your hands and mouth to make up for your lack of scepter skills.
I scoff, kiss her hard, and move to the edge of the bed. She goes up on one elbow, watching as I stand to take off my boxer briefs.
You should do a striptease for me.
And you should call me Orgasm King in public, but neither one is going to happen. Her eyes light up as I free my cock and step out of my boxer briefs.
Now, that's a mighty scepter.
God, she makes me laugh. I snag a condom from my nightstand and press my lips to hers as I roll her onto her back and follow her down. Do you want to talk about scepters all night? Because I'm dying to feel you wrapped around me and hear you cry out my name so loud the neighbors hear it. She blinks up at me, whispering,
Option 2, please?
So fucking cute. I kiss her again and rise up on my knees. Tearing open the condom packet with my teeth, I give my cock a tight stroke.
Again?
She says huskily. My sunshine has a naughty side. Nobody likes a dry hand. I reach between her legs, but she snags my hand, pulling it to her mouth. I catch myself with my other hand beside her head, balancing as she drags her tongue over my palm several times, licks along each finger, and sucks my index finger into her mouth with a look of pure seduction in her eyes. Careful, sunshine. I'm already obsessed with your mouth, and seeing it wrapped around my cock is my favorite fantasy.
Maybe if you're still the reigning king after this, you'll get to live out that fantasy.
You know I'm an overachiever.
I'm counting on it,
she says sassily.
Now, how about putting that hand to good use and giving me something to fantasize about?
Jesus, talk about fantasies. I go back on my knees and fist my cock, giving her the show she craves, and use my other hand to tease between her legs. Her eyes remain trained on my hand, sliding along my dick. I can't resist seeing how far she'll go, and I stop touching her. Touch yourself, beautiful. Her cheeks flame and her eyes find mine, the vulnerability in them enchantingly seductive. Come on, baby, give me something to fantasize about.
I say it as if I haven't been cataloging her every gasp, moan, and quiver.
Her hand slides down her stomach, stopping short of her pussy, and she bites her lower lip.